This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stogsdill. The diary of Leah, dictated by Esther, continues. As Esther speaks to John, "Where am I?" I ask slowly. "The steps aren't far," he says. He takes me to them. There's something strange about the way he walks, but I'm not sure what. We sit and wait. Mother returns with the other girls. "Thank you, John," she says to him.
"You're welcome, Mother Anderson. She was lost."
We go in together. "Susan left me," I say. "Yes, she's horrible," Mary says. "She did that to me, too. She doesn't like walking with new girls." "She said I'm slow," I add. "Where did she leave you?" Catherine asks. "By the steps," I reply. Mary says, "She left me by a tree. I thought I'd have to find my own way back. John helped me too." It was raining with loud thunder. "All right, washroom time and no messes. Right, Catherine?" "Yes, Mother," Catherine says. We take turns bathing.
"Hannah, enough dawdling. Remove that dress," Mother scolds.
I suppose remove means to take off, because she does, then climbs in. Mother assists by showing her what to do. Next, it's Lydia's turn, but she doesn't need help. Then Catherine climbs in.
"The water's not very warm anymore."
She washes quickly. I hear Mother saying,
"Go back, you missed your feet."
"Sorry, I dropped the soap," she says and starts to cry.
"It's all right, love. Let's find it."
They look in the bath, then the floor.
"Here it is," Kathleen says. "It skated close to one of the toilets."
I don't know what skating is, but everyone laughs. Mother says,
"Thank you. Now finish, please."
This time, the soap stays in the bath. Next, Mary and Kathleen take their turns. Mother helps Mary wash her long hair.
"Esther, your turn," she says to me. "She's such a show-off," Hannah whispers.
But I can still hear "Little Miss Perfect."
"Use this. It's a flannel."
Mother hands me a cloth and the soap. I rub some on the cloth. I wash everywhere, not skipping my feet.
Catherine was right. The water is freezing.
Then Mother hands me something for my hair.
It smells awful. "Don't forget the back."
After everyone's finished, we dry ourselves and put on nightdresses. I finally ask Kathleen a question I've been thinking about. You can see the soap? Yes, I can see bright colors, and the soap is blue. We brush our teeth, trying not to splash too much water. The older girls enter when we finish. They're giggling about something. What's that sound? I whisper. My keys. I'm Mother Matthews. Are you Esther? I turn around and a woman is behind me. Yes, how do you know me? I ask. You're the only one here with an accent like that. She laughs. You still can't speak English like us, can you? No, you still sound German. Mother! Mary screams suddenly. Look! But she's washing her hands, so I guess she doesn't see. There's a slimy thing in my hair! A little bug, Mother replies, pulling it out. When she asks who did it, no one speaks. Mother Matthews is quiet. What about you, Susan? Anna? Or Julia? Mother Anderson asked, naming the other girls too. Why them? Your girls aren't angels, you know. Mother Matthews sounds mad. And she laughs again. You're right. Now, though, this washroom has gotten too crowded. Girls, come with me. Back in our dormitory, she asks us again, and we give her the same answer. Very well, she sighs. I'll speak to her. I guess she means Mother Matthews. What does I sound German mean? I ask. Your voice, how you talk, you're German. When you speak English, you still talk differently, she explains. Will I always sound German? I ask. Mother answers, probably so. As the days pass, everything becomes easier for me. Wake up bell, dress, prayers. I whisper mine in Hebrew. Breakfast bell, classes, lunch. After lunch, there are more classes, dinner, a walk, evening chores or play, prayers, and finally a bedtime bell. Every evening, we all have chores, like sweeping or dusting our dormitory. Hannah doesn't like doing anything herself. She always says, I never do this at home. Mary tries to help her, but Mother won't let her. So Hannah yells and stamps her feet. But Mother scolds her. Put your shoes on. Brush your hair. You're not at home. Try again, she says to Hannah. Kathleen doesn't need Mother's assistance. She sometimes helps Amy and Mary fold their clothes. Mary hates cleaning and the smell of polish. We all hate different chores. On Saturday, we practice piano, write letters, do handicrafts like beadwork, or just talk. There are other kinds of chores, too. We care for our own small vegetable garden. Mrs. Porter cooks with the vegetables from our garden in our meals, or she trades, meaning she gets something in exchange for them. We had orange juice for breakfast one day. Someone asked her where she got it, and she said she traded it for our vegetables. On Sunday, everyone walks to church. It's different from a synagogue. The Bible and songs are in English. It was strange listening to the English words. I've been here for 2 weeks. It's Saturday night and it's raining. Soft at first, then louder. Suddenly, we hear loud booming thunder and flashing lightning. Catherine starts crying. I can see it, she says. So I sing, zoom, zoom, zoom. I finish and everyone claps. What does that mean? Hannah asks rudely. That's not an English song. I tell her I don't know the English words. That's one of me and Leah's favorite songs to sing. Can you sing a song? I ask. Ring around the roses, Mary calls out. We dance in a circle, and they sing, ring around the roses, pocket full of... Girls, you know the bedtime bell's about to ring. Night dresses and prayers immediately, Mother calls. But Mother, I say, we're not done singing. Can we please sing all of it? Amy gasps, but Mother answers, Esther, since you ask nicely, you may finish. Then to bed, all of you. Mother, she should be punished, Hannah cries. She won't be, Mother replies. She's still learning. Now finish. Pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. We fall to the floor, giggling, getting in each other's way when we stand up. What's posies? I ask. Flowers, Mother answers. We say our prayers, and I say the Shema prayer out loud for the first time. What's that? I've never heard those funny words before. Hannah pretends to whisper loudly. Be quiet, Lydia whispers angrily. Girls, you can both be quiet unless you want extra chores tomorrow. Mother uses her stern voice. It's called Hebrew. We finish. Mother continues. And Hannah, try undressing yourself tonight. I think it's strange how she's been here longer than me and still can't or won't dress herself. I thought your prayer was beautiful, Kathleen says. What does it mean? I don't know the English words to that one, I say sadly.
Silence, girls.
The bell rings, and we fall asleep quickly. Walking to breakfast the next morning, we pass the older girls. We hear their canes first, then,
"Here comes the charity girl," one calls. "Stop that," Lydia shouts back. "She's new." "Lydia, keep walking. Hurry."
Mother Anderson stops to wait for her. "What's charity girl?" I ask.
"You,"
Lydia whispers.
"Anna was calling you a charity girl because you're not from England, I think."
We are outside after church. The air is colder and the wind is blowing. We walk through crunchy leaves on the ground. We're not jumping in them, though, like Leah and I used to do. Instead, we're watering and weeding the garden. Hannah complains that her hands hurt, but Mother does her work just like the rest of us.
"I never do this at home. We have a gardener," she reminds us.
"Last night, you said you saw lightning."
"How?"
I ask Catherine.
"I can only see bright lights. I sort of remember my mum's face and hair. She said I was ill when I was little. When I got better, I was blind. My eyes don't work like they used to anymore."
I was silent. I didn't know people could become blind. I was born that way. Across from me, I hear,
"My sister's got long hair."
Amy laughs. "Sometimes she lets me brush it."
"My little sister has short hair," Mary says, "but mine takes ages to dry. Mom won't let me get it cut. She wants it braided."
"I'll show you sometime when you're older. I can show you how to pin it," Mother says. Mary seems to like that idea.
"Finished, Mother,"
Hannah groans.
"Can I go in now?"
"No, you may not. We still have work to do," Mother replies. Watering is next. We try not to splash any on our clothes. We return our tools to the shed when the dinner bell rings. Walking back, John passes us. He and William were working in the flower garden.
"Where have the weeds gone?" he jokes.
We laugh and say they're far away. One morning, we wake up really cold. Then I remember that it's November. I've been so busy, the weeks have flown by. Shivering, we go through our morning routine and hurry to breakfast. Hannah still won't make her bed unless Mother scolds. We almost missed the breakfast bell because she took so long. I know my way around pretty well, since we all have to use our canes. Outside the dining hall, We usually line up until it's ready. We sit, and food is served on our plates.
Esther, here's yours.
When they finish serving, we all eat together. The teachers and the other staff have their own table. When John and Miss Lee clear the plates away, everyone at our table says, "Thank you." Except Hannah. She angrily whispers, "John, hurry up. You're slow."
"I'm going as quickly as I can, miss," he answers.
Mother reminds her,
"What do you say, Hannah?"
Sounding angry, like Papa when Leah and I were caught doing something wrong. She stands beside Hannah's chair. Hannah mumbles, "Thank you."
"What else?" Mother prompts.
Hannah apologizes, but I don't think she means it. After breakfast is another Braille lesson with Mrs. Davis. I'm learning numbers and sentences. Writing on the slate is hard. If I make a mistake, I can't fix it until I turn the paper over. Sometimes I reverse what I'm writing and I have to start over. After writing, we take turns reading aloud. It's a story about animals. When my turn comes, I slowly read so I can say all the words perfectly.
"No,"
Kathleen stops me.
"The word is treetops."
I have to start over. Amy messes up as well.
"It's an F, not a D. Try again," Mrs. Davis says.
Next is one of my favorite classes, sewing. I like learning English words for things I do at home. Miss Walters was proud when she saw I wasn't a beginner, just like Mrs. Blake was when I played the piano. When we're in our dormitory, Hannah hates doing things herself. In class today, I try to help her, but she yells, "Go away! I don't need your help!" Mary does, though. I help thread her needle. We're sewing buttons on shirts. I try not to rush, but this is too easy.
"Finished?"
Miss Walters comes over. "Yes. Can I do something harder?" I ask hopefully.
"Can you knit?"
When I answer yes, she says, "Make something for me." She hands me knitting needles and yarn. I make a dress for Minna.
"Catherine, very good. Hannah, your thread's tangled. Let me help." "This is too hard."
Hannah stamps her foot.
"Stop that. If you practice, it'll get easier."
"Lydia, that button's too close to the first one."
"Kathleen, excellent. All six as well,"
Miss Walters says. It's my turn again.
"Wonderful, too."
She takes the dress from me, examining it. Handing it back, she says, This dress even has buttonholes. Well done.
No fair, Lydia calls out. How are you that fast?
I'm quick, my mama says. My sister Leah sews fast, too.
At lunch, Catherine talks about her mum.
My mum sews. She makes quilts.
Who cares? Hannah bangs her cup down. My mum buys our quilts.
What colors does she use? Lydia asks, ignoring Hannah. Her elbow brushes mine.
All colors. She likes to make the sun and the moon.
How?
I didn't know you could put real things in your quilts, I ask.
She sews with different squares. I don't know how she puts the colors together, but people love them, Catherine says.
Amy, what's that?
Miss Price says too loudly. She feels the table.
Nothing's here.
Where is it? It's just paper, miss.
I feel paper in front of me, too.
Of course, you blind children can't see that. Here are the maps you use.
Finally, it's our last class, piano. I'm still playing without music. Lydia shows me her Braille music, and it doesn't feel easy. The dots are mixed up. They don't feel like letters or numbers. Leah wouldn't even be able to read it. I think she'd like Mrs. Blake, though.
What is she doing now, I wonder? Is she playing the piano? Maybe she's in school. I hope her family's nice.
Esther, did you hear me?
Mrs. Blake interrupts.
No, I was thinking about Leah, how she liked playing.
Well, love, try again. Both hands and sing.
Mrs. Blake tells me this is called a scale, and it's sung in English.
Now I'm called Charity Girl by the older girls almost every day. Susan and Anna are the worst. Julia sometimes talks to us. We still only see them in the bathroom or the halls. Luckily, I'm always with someone, never alone. After that bug joke, they haven't tried anything else. We also listen to the radio, so we know there's fighting going on between countries. We've heard about how the Germans are fighting with Poland and Britain. That's how this war started, when Germany attacked Poland. Amy tells me children from England have been moved from their homes in the city and are living with new families in the countryside. Her next-door neighbor has a brother and sister living with her. They left in case of bombings, she whispers on our walk. I guess everyone's afraid of Hitler. I'm glad we're not in the city. A much happier radio program is called The Children's Hour. In Toy Town, talking animals live together and get into trouble. Catherine likes Larry the Lamb character. It's Friday night.
I can hear heavy rain hitting the windows.
Why don't you play hide and seek?
Mother has me be it. I start to count. Ein, zwei.
English, Esther, Mother says. Please start over.
Sighing, I do. I hear giggles when I reach 20. I start to find everyone.
Catherine hides under her bed, Kathleen in the closet.
I search the whole dormitory, but can't find the others.
They're not all here. Try outside, Mother says.
The garden? I'm not sure what she means by outside.
Sorry, Esther. I meant look outside this room, she says.
The first place I go is to the washroom.
Please be in here, I say out loud. Well, if it isn't the charity girl.
Anna laughs loudly. I tell her I'm looking for my friends.
Not here, she says quickly.
I search the whole room, but they're not here. I tell Mother, and she tells me to search the hallway. The next door is unlocked, so I step through to listen, but all I hear is the clock. My cane hits an empty chair. My leg bangs against a dresser. Then I find a bed. Kneeling down, I feel around and pull someone's hair.
Ouch! Finally, Esther!
Lydia crawls out.
I almost fell asleep waiting.
Where am I? I ask.
Mother's room. Who's left? She asks.
I find a door I've never seen before.
Mother Matthews' dormitory. Not there.
I find another door.
That's Mother Matthews' room. They're not there either, she says.
We knock on their dormitory door anyway. We hear someone say, "Hello." It's Julia. I'm relieved. We tell her what we're playing, and she swears our friends aren't there. She offers to come along, but Mother Matthews, of course, won't let her. Today, Lydia and I find Amy and Hannah in the music room. Mary is the last one hiding. Hannah comes with me to help.
Please don't be nasty tonight, I plead to myself.
No, Esther opened that door. I told her who it was, but she didn't listen, Anna whines.
Very well. I'll let you know your real punishments tomorrow. Next time, I better hear about it from you immediately, Mother warns.
What's immediately? I ask. It means after it happens. Instead, Miss Lee told me at breakfast. I was ashamed, and she's right. You knew better, Hannah. We have to stay in our dormitory all day. I read, not speaking much, but Hannah complaining because
Esther opened the door. Our meals are brought up by John.
Mother, our library is small,
Lydia complains. She slams the door. After scolding her, Mother asks what she means.
They don't have the book I want. Mrs. Davis told me not every book is in Braille.
Yes, she's right, love. It takes a long time to Braille a book.
It's Sunday after church. Mother gives us our punishment. We have extra cleaning and scrubbing the long hall outside the dormitories. Mother gives us our bucket and rags and goes back inside. I clean one end and Hannah starts at the other end. We stop for lunch and our hands and knees are sore. Mother looks at our work.
Good, you can stop now.
After lunch, we finish. I hate you, I thought, as we brought our buckets to the kitchen. I missed piano. It's my turn to whine a bit. Miss Lee just takes my bucket. I missed talking to Mummy. I turn to Hannah.
What do you mean?
My Mummy. She calls on Sunday, she says.
Next time you'll remember that before you do anything like that again.
When John takes her bucket, she says he hurt her hand.
Mother Anderson says you may eat with the others tomorrow.
With his hands on our backs, he pushes us out the door. We go to bed exhausted, not speaking much. One night, I turn to the window and can't sleep. It's almost Hanukkah, I think. I must have said it out loud because Kathleen whispers,
"What's Hanukkah?"
Once, a long time ago, there was fighting between Jews and the Greeks who wanted the Jews to pray like them. When it was over, the Jewish people tried to light the candles in the temple. But there was only oil for one night. But it burned for 8 nights, I say. Next, I explain that a menorah holds 9 candles, and the shamash, the big candle, lights all the others. 1 on the first night, 2 on the second, until the 8th night when we light them all. I hear yawning. They're all awake now.
What else happens? Mary whispers.
We sing songs and play games, I tell them.
That's not fair. Father Christmas only comes once a year, Amy says.
Who's Father Christmas? I ask.
Girls!
We all sit up, hearing Mother Anderson in the doorway.
Go to sleep at once. Esther, you may finish your story tomorrow.
She leaves, and we slowly fall asleep. Amy promises to tell me who Father Christmas is tomorrow. It's the first week in December. With everyone excited about going home and for Father Christmas to arrive. It's been snowing, so our walks are more difficult. Our shoes are covered in snow, and we sometimes slip. But that was the same back home, too.
On Sunday, Mother starts reading to us. It's a story about a horse and his mother.
Why did you stop? Mary asks. That's the end of a chapter. One chapter a week. How does that sound?
We think that's a great idea.
That was nice. Where did you get it? Mary asks.
Mother's sitting next to her. I had it sent from home. Our library doesn't have it, so I thought you might enjoy it. We fall asleep talking about this new book. I wish I knew where Leah is, but Mrs. Davis hasn't heard anything. Then I remember what Susan had said. The next Saturday, I find Susan in the sewing room. Please, I need help, I say to her. Her knitting needles click, but she doesn't answer. I start to ask again.
I heard you. Now let me finish this row first, she snaps.
I sit and wait. Finally, she asks,
what do you want?
I tell her about Leah and ask if her mother can find out where she lives.
I might be able to, but we're in a war, and Mum is busy providing meals to factory workers right now.
Later, we're listening to Mother read the story when she gets to the part where the horse has to go live with another farmer. I start crying.
What is it?
Amy's hand touches my arm. Sniffling, I can't speak.
Is it your sister again?
Hannah's on my other side. Her shoulder pushes mine hard.
Yes, I say.
I'm quiet the rest of the night. Catherine and I wake Christmas morning to find packages at the ends of our beds. The others are celebrating at home.
Should I open mine?
Go ahead, Esther, Mother says. They're for you. There are Braille labels on them. I eagerly look for Leah's name, but there's nothing. Then, very disappointed, I find a new coat from Mother Anderson and a packet of writing paper from Mrs. Davis. We give Mother Anderson a crocheted baby blanket that she can send to her niece. After breakfast, where we read about a baby named Jesus being born in a stable, I head to the music room. I play my songs from home for a while, feeling incredibly lonely. What is Leah doing now, I wonder? I hit the high keys softly, one at a time, then the low keys very loudly. I feel the keys' sounds vibrate right through me.
You're practicing,
I hear someone say. I turn, and William enters. I don't know him very well, but he speaks to me when we see each other.
Not practicing, just playing, I say.
I hear squeaking at the window. He says he's cleaning it.
You're very good. I hear you girls sometimes. What were you playing? It sounded angry.
I miss my sister Leah, I answer in German. There, I said it. He doesn't say anything. He just continues cleaning the windows. She's gone. I don't know where she's at. So are Mama and Papa. They're in Germany, where Hitler is. When we left, Mama said we had to get away from him because he doesn't like Jews. I miss baking challah bread, singing, playing piano with Leah, and listening to the Torah being read. It's not in Braille yet. I wish it were so I could read it myself. I've stopped pounding the keys.
You miss your family very much. You must always remember the happy times with them. Don't forget the songs and prayers.
He stops speaking. I gasp. You speak German and English, I whisper. You understand me? I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Suddenly, we hear a knock. We both turn as we hear Mother's voice.
I knew you'd be in here, Esther. William, when you're finished here, could you go to Mother Matthew's dormitory? She says it's urgent.
To me, she says, now let's go back to our dormitory. I know a game you might enjoy.
I don't feel like using my cane, so I take Mother's arm, and she guides me back. She was right. The game is fun, singing and clapping, getting faster and faster. Catherine and I are laughing by the end. Christmas dinner is wonderful. Turkey with potatoes and carrots. Mother Anderson says this might be our last good Christmas dinner for a long while, so we should enjoy it. While we talk and share our presents, everyone figures out that we've all gotten the same thing from Mrs. Davis. After Christmas pudding, Mrs. Davis explains, I'm sure everyone's wondering why I gave you all the writing paper. It's for your letters, even the younger ones. I'd like them to write something every day. Those next years are going to be harder for everyone because of the war. There's silence. Then Catherine asks, will my mummy see it?
If you want to show her, you may.
Why do we have to write in anything? An older girl asks. The war is in Europe, not here.
Haven't you been listening to the radio? Our prime minister wants us to be prepared.
You wouldn't be saying that if you'd heard Hitler say the things he said. I couldn't understand everything, but Mama said he hates Jews. Then Leah saw signs telling us where we could and couldn't go. Soon, she couldn't go to school anymore. After that, we listened to the King's Christmas message. He lives in Buckingham Palace in London with his family. He talks about the courageous servicemen overseas and ends with a poem about G-D's love. I ask Mother what courageous means.
Brave, doing something you think is right, even when nobody agrees with you, servicemen are soldiers fighting for their country, like people are doing now. Overseas means countries far away. In bed, I think about bravery. Mama and Papa were brave to send us away with the other children. I hope we might see our family and friends again. We're brave, too, going to a new country to live. I'm still very homesick, but I like it here. And William speaks German, which gives me comfort. Before I fall asleep, I think to myself that everything's different from the celebrations at home, but it's still nice. I wonder what next year will be like.